stuff. Hey, good morning. Hey, how are you today? A couple of prayer requests I want to share with you before we get started. If you would, this went on the prayer chain the other day. I just want to make sure that everybody's praying. Andy Coe's co-worker's niece, Harley. She is 14 years old, has been going through chemo treatments at different times for brain cancer. And the cancer has moved to her spine. They life flighted her to a hospital in New Orleans, and her kidneys have stopped working. Let's just lift her up right now. Lord, we know life is a precious gift that we do sometimes take for granted. And so we want to lift up Harley and her family, and that you would hold them close to you. And we are not just uttering words to say words, but we know that prayer is powerful, that there are miracles that happen every single day that sometimes we just don't even realize. So we're going to lift up Harley and ask for a miracle, because we know that you are the God who supplies. You are the God that loves us. You are the God that gives in so many amazingly generous ways when we often just don't deserve it. You have been so gracious to us. So we're asking right now as a group that you would be gracious to Harley and to her family, and do as you see fit as the great physician. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Also, please be in prayer for Charlene's mom. She's had some tests, and she will have the results on March 16th. And we want to continue to lift her up in prayer. I understand there's a birthday lady in the clubhouse today. It is Jackie Berrios' 35th birthday. Very nice. I like the way you did that. And I believe Alan Miller had a birthday this week, too. He's hiding in the corner, didn't know that. Alan is not 35. We'll just say that, okay? Alan's not 35. He's 36. There you go. And anyone else who had a birthday this week, or if I missed it, I apologize. Hey, next week, I got a lot to talk about today, but next week we're going to start. I've been reading a book that's been really cool. It's called When God, Then You. It's kind of an odd title. Don't like the title, but it's about cause and effect. Very interesting. And I'm going to do a message series based on that, or at least one week this next week. How when God says this and you do it, then there's a result. So when God does X, you do this, there's a result. I'm not talking about the unconditional love of God, but when you go through Scripture and you see these things, this principle is very, very clear. And so I'm really excited about that. So please be here next week. Bring some friends. It'd be a great week for somebody to come out. Today I'm going to kind of be a little professorial, if you will. I'm going to lecture a little bit, so try to stay awake. We're ending a series. I feel like I'm going to bore you to death, but we're ending a series called It's Complicated. Because the truth is, life is filled with things that are complicated, would you agree? Taxes, complicated. Anybody do those Sudoku? Is that how you call it? Sudoku? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. The puzzles, right? They're so complicated. Trigonometry, for me at least, it's complicated. How to process DNA or decipher computer code, way too complicated for me. How to explain what a McRib sandwich actually is? That's impossible, right? And according to the relationship status of many people on Facebook, it's complicated too, right? I ran across an article on called "Tips on Love from Those Who Would Know the Best," all right, or those who would know the most, I guess it's called. You may have seen this before, but I thought it was interesting, and I want to share a little bit of it with you. These are questions that they ask little children. The following questions, like, What do most people do on a date? And Mike, age 10, responded this way. On the first date, they just tell you what each other's, they tell each other lies. And that usually gets them interested enough to go for a second date. Okay? 10-year-old, very astute, don't you think? It's like that commercial they have. I'll try to stay focused today, I promise. They asked what the proper age is to get married, and Tom, age 5, said this. Well, once I'm done with kindergarten, I'm going to find me a wife. Okay. Judy, age 8, said 84. Because at that age, you don't have to work anymore, and you can spend all your time loving each other in your bedroom. I can't wait till I'm 84. That sounds good. Concerning why love actually happens, Jan, age 9, said this. No one is sure why it happens, but I heard it has something to do with how you smell. That's why perfume and deodorant is so popular. Amen to that, right? God wants our relationships to smell good, okay? No matter where you are, wherever you find yourself in your relationships, whether today you are single or dating or a parent or a step-parent or an aunt or an uncle or a cousin or a sister or brother, God wants your relationships to thrive and flourish. So if you haven't been with us in this series, you can go to tampajourney.com, check out the message series there. We got hundreds of them there you can listen to. I hope you do that. The fact is we're all imperfect people, but our relationships don't have to be challenging as we tend to make them. Today what we're going to do is, we are going to wrap up this series talking about something that rarely gets talked about, and that's maybe why it's going to sound kind of lecture-ish, and I'm going to do my best to keep it not sounding that way, but it's going to. It's a big-time player in complicating our relationships. And I think all of us have wrestled with this at least to some degree. Has anybody ever, I think this is a good way to put it, has anybody ever played the game Call of Duty? Anybody ever played Call of Duty? You know what I'm talking about, though, right? Right? This thing right here. Pretty cool, right? Well, it's a pretty violent war game, let me say that, okay? Where it's you against the entire world. And all these enemy combatants are trying to prevent you from completing your mission, and it's up to you and you alone to vanquish, okay? It's a tough guy game that you play from your recliner. And I think all of us can play that game in our relationships, too. I mean, we sometimes fall into the thinking that we can be somebody else's savior. It's up to us to protect and rescue. I will be your hero. It's my call of duty. I have to control it. I have to fix it. I have to manage it. I have to manipulate it. I have to worry. Somebody's got to worry. It might as well be me. I have to stay up at night stressing out about what's going on or what might just happen. I have to endure whatever they dish out my way. It's called my call of duty. They need me. They're counting on me. And if I'm totally honest and peel back some layers, I need them to need me, right? There's a term used in this tour of duty game that we sometimes play, and here's the term we're going to talk about. It's called what? Codependency. I want to close out the series talking about this unhealthy, striving, proving, fixing, controlling need to be needed game that many of us play to some degree or one degree or another. It's a disease of perception that ends up making all of our relationships and our lives a lot more complicated than they need to be. And as we work through some of the characteristics of codependency I'm going to talk about in just a moment, I pray that maybe it will shine a helpful light on the way you've been living your life and hopefully offer some help. So let's get started with some universal characteristics of codependency. All codependents, first of all, are bound in relationships by performance, what I do, rather than the core values and worth of who I am. It's all about what I do rather than who I am. It's always, have I done enough for them to love me back? And you're living your life constantly wondering, am I fill in the blank enough? Do they like me? Do they think I'm okay? Do I look okay? Do these jeans make me look fat? What are they saying about me? Do they like my posts? Do I fit in? Do they think I'm funny or cute or smart? You know, was that 3.9 GPA enough? Did I meet their expectations? Did they like the way I did that? Did they approve of the way I sang and I painted and performed and played that, built that, wrote that, cooked that, prepared that, preached that? Oh, I hope they like me. Codependency says something wrong with me, but I'm going to prove to myself and others that I'm okay. I've observed a lot of adults that will jump on this treadmill of extreme workaholism, and because that they're still chasing this elusive pat on the back that maybe they never received growing up, you know, and we call it a drive for ambition, but often our motivation is, you're gonna love me. Please, somebody, tell me I'm doing okay. And this often plays out in our children's sports. So many parents have out-of-control expectations. Parents are living out their failed dreams through their children. They should throw it like this. He should have or she should have caught it like that. You should have shot like that. Come on, you're 7. You got to be better than that, right? By the way, research has shown, I want you to hear this, very important, that the only thing you can say to your children that are playing sports that really won't mess them up is this: I just love watching you play. That's it. I just love watching you play. That's all you need to say. Listen, this is huge. When you and I look to other relationships, personal achievements or outstanding performance or good deeds or the applause of others or anything external to measure our worth as a person, we are in bondage to codependency. Being obsessed with what other people think about you is the quickest way to forget what God thinks about you. There's another characteristic of codependency, and is this: the inability to say no. It's like that Cheap Trick song, remember, you know? I want you to want me, right? When people want you, there's this feeling of affirmation, this rush of acceptance that can become the shallow substitution for the approval of God. Our self-worth gets wrapped up in our needs to be needed, and to say no meant to reject the wonderful feeling of well-being, of being wanted. To say no meant that well, you know, they might not want me anymore. To say no meant that they might not ask me again. I might get replaced. If you have a hard time saying no, you might need to examine your heart and get honest with what's behind all that stuff, because yeah, we don't stop long enough to ask why. We keep going down the same road of insanity, and as a result, it leads to greater levels of stress and anxiety and frustration. Even some anger stuff, and our need for approval becomes almost insatiable, and we start firing yeses, you know, every chance we get, until we get to the point where we end up living a twisted version of that golden rule that goes something like this. Many codependents start out doing for others what they should be doing for themselves. That's the twisted version of the golden rule. Doing for others what we should be doing for ourselves. The codependent becomes the self-appointed primary caretaker of the other person. Not in a Christ-like, how can I help you kind of way, but in a let me be your Messiah. Let me be your Savior kind of way. And that's not healthy. They even start covering for that other person's irresponsibility. And it turns into this unhealthy, I will bail you out and give you whatever you need to continue this destructive kind of life thinking. Many codependents try to protect the person from the consequences of their unhealthy behavior. And they're unaware that by doing so, they're enabling the problem rather than helping with the solution. You ever wonder why codependent personalities and chemically addictive personalities are so attracted to each other? You ever wonder? Codependents can't stand the feeling of no one needing them. So our attachment to the addictive personality becomes our addiction. See how that works? We have to fix, we have to control, we have to protect, we have to rescue, we have to enable. It's our call of duty. And the chemically addictive person knows that the codependent person is desperately seeking their love and will play into their need by taking advantage of them. They will lie, they will steal, they will con, they will manipulate at all costs, and this can become a crazy cycle because as the addiction or any negative behavior increases, the need for the codependent increases, which is what the codependent is after. You see that? And now both are indispensable to each other's addiction. The cycle can't be broken. They need each other. And that's why, because of its progressive nature, it often gets to the point where we end up tolerating mistreatment or abuse from other people while justifying their behavior and even trying to defend their behavior. Often we see women who try to rescue the bad boy, right? They will endure all kinds of abuse in an attempt to make things better. He's not trying at all. He's very self-centered. She will make excuses for him. She will lie for him. She will defend him. These are great people with huge hearts and good intentions, but because of their personal deep love need, because of their lack of internal self-worth, it gets to be this compulsive, twisted, destructive, even dangerous way of living for everyone concerned. I know this is heavy stuff, okay? Let me pause for a moment and just say this. If this is you, you need to courageously walk away from that unhealthy relationship. You need to put some boundaries in your life and lean into God, the God who loves you unconditionally, and get some help so you can see who you are from the eyes of your Maker. There's freedom in unloading many of those unnecessary expectations and responsibilities that have been heaped on our shoulders. There's freedom there. Start to disarm our always saying yes machines and drop our sense of duty to be somebody else's savior. And instead, let's run to the arms of the one, the only one who is qualified to save, the only one who can rescue anybody. As we exchange codependency for complete dependency upon our God and Savior. Because as you get below the surface and you uncover the why and start examining the roots of codependency, you will find a need that only God can fill. Because it has its roots, the fundamental need to be loved sincerely and genuinely and unconditionally. That's the roots of codependency, and that's what we all want, but we look in the wrong places for it to be fulfilled. The best place, the only one's going to work is when we allow our fulfillment to come from having a relationship with God. It's a void of acceptance and love that led us down that road, and for some of us, this goes way back to our childhood. And, you know, maybe someone wounded you, and you know, and you endured those wounds or unrealistic expectations. Maybe there was some neglect or some abuse or a love deficiency is what led us to this counterfeit method of receiving and expressing love in codependent relationships. Now, on the outside, we may look like we've got it all together. We may look strong, but on the inside, we're just screaming, you know, somebody, just love me. Love me. Because that's what we all want. So what happens is, you're going like, when is he going to get to the Bible? I got a lot more at the end of this, I promise. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells us exactly what we should look for first. Here's what he says. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Those are the words of Jesus. And all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus says, seek God first. Every day you're striving with this love deficiency that can only be filled by an intimate, personal, daily relationship with me, he says. Nothing else can give you that. No other relationship can give you that. Only through a relationship with God Will you find the worth? Will you find the value and the deep soul satisfaction that is just so hard to find? Seek God first. He cares for you. He provides for you. He rescues you. He's the Father. And he says, I love you. I created you with a deep spiritual need for me. And through our relationship, you will see that you have value, that you have worth, that you are okay just the way you are. You're secure in me. You don't have to perform or pretend. You don't have to fix or rescue or control because you're accepted by the one that matters most. And I've discovered that living in that truth, that living in the truth of this word for me and for you, that living in that truth will free your relationships. I promise. You ever button your shirt wrong? I've done it. I think everybody has, right? Have you noticed that it's a simple thing, but if you get the first button, the rest of it kind of flows, right? Same thing is true in relationships. You get this one first. You get this one right. You let God love you with his unconditional love. The rest of the relationships, yeah, I'm not saying they're always easy. They're not. Life is tough. And I don't have to tell you that. You know that. But they're going to fall in line. Maybe you don't know this. Maybe you do. If you know me, you probably know a little bit about this. I love to grill. I love grilling. I'm a grill master. It's just a favorite thing. You know, you ever know, it's kind of funny. In a lot of families, it's that way, you know. My wife cooks a lot. She's an amazing cook, chef, baker, all that kind of stuff. I love her food, every meal. I've only had one meal in 36 years that was terrible. Only one. I won't talk about that. But that just it. I mean, it's amazing, right? I've had thousands because we eat at home almost every meal. Amazing meals. But what was I trying to say? Oh, yeah. But when we are going to grill, who does the grilling? Most of the time, the guys do the grilling, most of the time. I love grilling. Grilling's funny. I love the smell of the grills. I love the fire. I love the taste of meat kissed gently with smoke from the grill. Can you smell it? I can smell it right now. I mean, there's just something manly about smelling like smoke, right? In fact, I'm wearing Kingsford cologne. I'm not, but they ought to make it. Don't you think? Would that be pretty cool? Well, yeah, it's Kingsford. Oh, yeah. Love it. Anyone that has ever barbecued, that has grilled out, knows that a steak or pork or anything on a grill always tastes better when it has had time to, I'm going to use the word marinate here, okay? You know, you put some herbs and spices and stuff, you put it in a bag, right? And you put that meat in the bag, and maybe you wrap it up. That's what I usually do. I put it in the fridge overnight. Got a lot of different ways that I do that for the meat, to let it marinate overnight. Why do you do that? Because the flavor gets in, right? Now, what I'm talking about right now, though, is a different kind of marinating. Marinating in the truth of God's love can change your life. Amen. Amen. Soaking in his word, soaking in his word and coming to him first every single day and seeking him first every day and just letting the truth of his love and his acceptance saturate your life will change everything about you. You see, the remarkable thing about codependence, I want you to hear this, is that love is both the problem and the cure. Let me say that again. The remarkable thing about codependence is that love is both the problem and the cure. I know of no other way to deal with this love deficiency than to go directly to the source of love. The Bible says, what does it say? The Bible says God is love, not God is loving. It doesn't say that God is loving. It says God is love. God is love. God never intended for any earthly relationship to fill and be the deepest, fulfill all our deepest needs. He never did. Contrary to that cheesy famous line from that wonderful movie, Jerry Maguire, no other person can really complete you. My wife and I have been married almost 36 years, And I knew the moment I met her, it's just a God thing. I saw her in a parking lot. I know that's weird. And I went, I'm going to marry her. It's just something God just did that, you know. I knew that she was going to be the girl I married. It took her a lot longer to know that. Who's this creepy man standing next to me? Yes, anyway. but my point is this. To expect another imperfect, fallible person to be everything, to complete me, is setting the relationship up for a very long uphill struggle. And is putting my unfair expectations on another person. Does that make sense? And sometimes we do that. I think we don't mean to do it, but we do. Proverbs 19, verse 22 says that a man or a woman is actually after an unfailing love. That's what we want. The scripture's clear. We want an unfailing love. Everybody here wants an unfailing love, and there's only one who can give that to you. 100% unfailing love. Your mom can't, your dad can't, your boyfriend can't, your girlfriend can't, your spouse can't, your friends can't, your boss can't. You can't get it from work. You can't get it anywhere else. You can't get it from the crowd. There's just one way you can get it, and that's why Jesus says, seek me first. Because you're not going to find the love you're looking for anywhere else. Let me complete you, he says. And then you'll be able to bring a more complete person into your relationships. Did you know that over 40 times, I know it because I looked it up this week, over 40 times in the Bible, there's this phrase, unfailing love, over 40 times. And every time it's used, without exception, it's connected to the one who can actually give it. Let me give you a couple examples in the Psalm. Psalm 32, I'll put it up here for you. Unfailing love surrounds those who trust the Lord. Psalm 33, the Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his what? Unfailing love. Psalm 130, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is unfailing love and an overflowing supply of salvation. Look up those 40-plus scriptures this week. And just let yourself marinate in its truth. Passages like 1 John chapter 3, the first verse. See what great love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. In Ephesians chapter 3, it says, and this is the Apostle Paul saying, he says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp. I'm going to come back to that word in a minute. How wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Don't we all want to be filled to the measure, the highest measure of the fullness of God? I do. So let me come back to that word for a minute. The word is what that I have underlined? Grasp. The root word used for the word grasp in this scripture is a root word for rust. It's the root word for rust or decay or to eat all the way through, to marinate. That's what we need to do. Let the love of God eat all the way through you. It's not enough to just show up at church once in a while. I need to know and grasp and marinate on the truth that God loves me. I heard that for every negative thing you hear said about you, okay? For every one negative thing you hear said about you, you need 10 positive things to counteract that. So read scripture. Every day, read about how God loves you. There's a great book by Brennan Manning, is a great author. He wrote a book called Abba's Child. It's great. It's a great reading for reminding us how much God loves us. Just marinate in the truth of God's love your father, your daddy has for you. Just soak in the truth of who he is and who you are so you can be filled up with that love deficiency that we all have. Now, as we wrap up this series, I was thinking about what might be the most powerful way to do that, and most helpful way, let's put it that way. And I thought it might be a good time to do a scripture mashup, so to speak. Some of you have taken on the weight of the world because of our need to be needed. So what I want to do right now is I want you to marinate. I want us to marinate for a while in these words that I'm going to read to you that are directly from the Word of God. Here are the things that God says about you. You ready? I know you have become weary and feel the weight of the world on your shoulders. Come to me. I will give you rest. Bring all your anxiety and fear to me and leave them with me. I will keep you in perfect peace when you keep your mind on me and trust me. I keep track of all your sorrows and have collected all your tears. I have compassion for how you've been afflicted. I have not forgotten you. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on her child? Here is my promise. Though she may forget, I will not forget you. The acceptance you find in everything under the sun is meaningless and temporary, but I have freely given you my acceptance. I do not give to you as the world gives and then takes away. So do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. I heal the brokenhearted and bind up their wounds, says God. If you're here today and you have a hard time comprehending love without a price tag, you know, you always thought that that love is something that you got to earn. If you do this enough, whatever this is, enough, then maybe, just maybe, I'll be worthy. You need to hear what God has to say to you. Before you were born, you were special to me. I knew you before you were conceived in your mother's womb. With my own hands, I fearfully and wonderfully created every detail that makes you unique. I have watched you every day of your life, so I know you. I know where you have been. I know where you are, and I know where you are going. If you only knew the thoughts I have toward you, did you know that my thoughts for you outnumber the grains of sand on all the beaches of all the world? You are the apple of my eye. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. You didn't earn my acceptance through anything you've done. You can't take credit for it. It is a gift from me. So it is not what you do that makes me love you. For compared to what I deserve, your righteous acts are nothing. Acts are like filthy rags. But it is my love for you that makes you precious and honored in my sight. I created you for my glory, and I will never abandon you. I'll never abandon you. What I have formed and made, I will never abandon what I have formed and made, says God to you. God's love emphatically says, you're worthy now. You're worthy now, not when, not if. You are worthy right now. There's no cost. My love is freely given. It's unconditional. It's unfailing. You just need to marinate in the truth of God's love for you. If you're finding yourself in a relationship these days where you need some boundaries, I'm praying that today you will hear God say this to you. I am God, the eternal God, your refuge. Underneath you are my everlasting arms. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. So do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer, present your requests to me. And my peace, which transcends understanding, will stand guard over your heart and mind. Rest, my child, for I have been good to you. You can trust me. I have delivered your soul from death, your eyes from tears, and your feet from stumbling, so that you may walk before me in the land of the living. When the cords of death entangle you, when you are overcome with trouble and sorrow, call upon my name. I will reach down from on high, and I will hold you. I will draw you out with the deep waters. I will rescue you from your powerful enemy. Though they comfort you in the days of your disaster, I will be your support. I will rescue you. I will delight in you. I will quiet you with my love. I will rejoice over you with singing. So, my loved one, rest secure in me, for I will shield you all the day long. You can trust in my unfailing love. You are the one I love. Come rest on my shoulders. Let him be your hero. All the deep soul satisfaction that you're looking for can be found in him. Run to him first, and when you do, he will embrace you. He will fill your love deficiency with his love. You'll start to see life differently. You'll start to see others differently. You'll start to see yourself differently. And it will bring health and life into all your relationships. So seek first the kingdom of God every day. Marinate in his words every day. Let him love and satisfy you every day, because that's his call of duty. Let's pray. Lord, a lot of us have been fed lies about who we are. We've come to know that you're this God of love that has come to fill this emptiness inside of us. Lord, we try so many different ways and roads to fill that need for love. Thank you for exposing us to the truth of who you are in your eyes, who we are in your eyes. God, I pray we would look up Scripture and marinate in its truth every day, that we would know we're deeply loved and watch that change us. Thank you for what you have taught us these past few weeks, Lord. May it be stamped on our lives by your Spirit, that our relationships would flourish. In Jesus' name we pray.